It is 8:45. I'm Dave Graham, and across from me is Lori Schuerbeck. Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, Dave. Great to be here.
Good to see you again as we continue our roughly monthly conversations about this inner journey. And today, you want to begin with another poem. So why don't we just start there?
Sounds great.
Yeah? Okay.
Wonderful. This is a poem by Fleur Adduck. Fleur is a woman who was born in New Zealand in 1939 and moved to England when she was 5 with her parents and settled down in the United Kingdom. And so this poem will segue us into our topic today, which is about self-acceptance. It's called Weathering. My face catches the wind from the snow line and flushes with a flush that will never wholly settle. Well, that was a metropolitan vanity, wanting to look young forever, to pass. I was never a pre-Raphaelite beauty, and only pretty enough to be seen with a man who wanted to be seen with a passable woman. But now I am in love with a place that doesn't care how I look, and if I am happy. Happy is how I look, and that's all. My hair will grow gray in any case. My nails chip and flake. My waist thicken, and the years work all their usual changes. If my face is to be weather-beaten as well, it's little enough lost for a year among the lakes and vales, where simply to look out my window at the high pass makes me indifferent to mirrors and to what my soul may wear over its new complexion.
Hmm. So where does that take you?
Well, you know, this poem, what I love about it is her unapologetic insistence on being herself.
Hmm. Accepting what happens, accepting the what life brings us as it wears on.
Yeah, and accepting our biological destiny. I mean, that's strong in the poem.
Mm.
But also, the depth of self-acceptance does bring us to that doorway of deep serenity and contentment. So she alludes to the fact that it's okay to not be happy.
Mm.
You know, in the sense that people strive for happiness.
Yeah.
As though it's a material item to be possessed. And, of course, you know, we've lived in a culture of materialism for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it promises all of this fulfillment and satisfaction. Yet most of us know, doesn't matter how much stuff you have, if the connection to the self isn't there or is a poor one, the experience of being content and enjoying your life as it unfolds is difficult to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The primary message behind our conversation today, you suggest, is about self-compassion and self-awareness and how they are essential for an inner life. Are they essential to happiness?
Is self-awareness and self-compassion essential to happiness? I would say so. I'd say it's definitely one of the spokes in the wheel of inner happiness. But broader than that, it's essential to having a full life. And happiness is one river stream in a life, isn't it?
Sure.
We all encounter difficult disappointment, loss.
Got to have yin with your yang.
Correct. Yeah, self-acceptance. I mean, we're crossed over. You know, the new year and the goal setting and all of the ambitions the new year brings to us. And as soon as we rub up against that inner voice that may berate us or admonish us or be disappointed in us, then we're up against the same stuff over and over, which is the relationship we have with ourselves, which is not a self-accepting one. And a big part of self-acceptance is to be realistic.
So we tend naturally to not be self-accepting. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know about everybody. I know for in my life, I've definitely lived a big chunk of my adult life with doubt and lack of confidence and an inner voice that was quite critical and judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I entered into therapy and started to get a closer look at and feel the unresolved conflicts that was underpinning that inner voice, this new expansive quality of self emerges that actually starts to say, I'd like to do that. I want to try this.
Mm.
I think that would be fun. And it's not necessarily the I have to be really good at it, or I have to prove myself, or in order to do this, I must succeed, otherwise I'm not worthy. And it's a pleasurable encounter with the impulse of wanting to have fulfillment in your life. And you need a positive self-regard to take those risks and to put yourself out there and risk making mistakes and, sometimes failing.
Yeah.
Exactly. And also encountering some of the more unpleasant sides, the shadow self, as Diane Hancock would call, in my world, it's the secondary self. It's the layer that has the unresolved junk that gets in the way from encountering a more positive regard or an acceptance. I have these two little words I've used my whole life when I rub up against a difficult experience and I start to come down on myself, and that is, so what?
Yeah.
Let myself off the hook and go deeper and explore, well, what was that about for me? Why did I make that choice or say that thing that was difficult to say or hear? The opposite of self-acceptance is self-consciousness.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's probably a more prevalent experience that people have.
Yes.
You feel self-conscious.
You have this kind of judge hanging over you.
Correct.
All the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm really interested. Sorry to barge in, but a comment you made earlier, and it was just before I opened my mouth to ask a question around the same thing, though. When you're presented with a new opportunity, you don't have a little voice that says, oh, no, you can't do that.
For sure.
So
I've had that.
You had it.
Not recently.
Nowadays, so you're past that. So now your voice says, yeah, let's try that.
It depends on the opportunity, I suppose. The context is important here. So, I think where I've experienced most of my courage and my ability to move beyond my doubt is in my working life, my professional life. I really thrive on not knowing how to do something and then figure it out.
Mm. Okay.
But in my other elements of my life, it might not be as effortless, like my romantic life.
Mm.
So there's these different levels and qualities of engagement that I've experienced my self-doubt, I don't have a negative attitude about myself anymore, but I do encounter self-doubt,
okay,
especially if I don't know how to do something.
Yeah, it sounds pretty normal.
Yeah, but if I don't know how to do it, my attitude isn't, well, what's wrong with you? How come you don't know how to do that?
Mm.
That's not my attitude. However, there are many people who have very, very difficult inner voices that are berating them all day long and are keeping them held hostage from feeling like they can thrive in their life, and they can try new things, and they can grow and develop. And that is the inner voice, typically, of the authoritative parent, or the authoritarian parent, more likely.
So what do you say to those people, to speak in a broad sense?
Well, throughout the course of therapy, the experience of self-acceptance is like a thread that runs throughout. First, we encounter its shadow. And there's a lot of realistic thinking and rational thought processing and emotional release that happens in order to integrate the conflict and then to be able to be in touch with the realistic side of the ego. And so these are all elements of our ego self, our personality. And so all defenses are ego defenses. And so it's the perception of self, and then really helping a person identify how that perception has come to be informed. And then there's always an emotional layer to the work. So one must uncover through their thoughts. Thoughts are secondary, feelings are primary. So the thought has to be traced back to the primary feeling. And typically the feelings are the primary feelings of rage, anger, sadness, joy.
Now, is this a journey, experience what you have, is this something that can be done on one's own, or do you think it requires someone else, professional help even?
Well, I do believe that it is an alliance between a therapist and an individual, because people are so stuck in their characters and in their life experiences. They're mired in it. They can't see it in the beginning. And the first stage of therapy is to help the person start to be objective and see what's happening and develop that awareness and that consciousness and understand the connection to that inner voice and their deeper unconscious. And then the second phase of therapy is they're doing a lot of the work themselves with the guidance, and then with my guidance. And then the third stage of therapy is a lot of expansion and a lot of, you know, deeper resolutions, and then a lot of movement towards pleasure, fulfillment, satisfaction, love. That's the end goal. Mm. Be in touch with the love of life.
So we need to wrap this up here. Do you have a final message for someone?
Well,
who might be experiencing difficulties this way?
Yeah, thanks, Dave. I think that it's more common than we realize. There's a lot of shame involved. So for people who are feeling difficult, deep, difficult feelings and feeling stuck and that could never change, that is part of the symptomology too. And so I guess movement and change is always possible. It requires courage and it requires tenacity and work and requires someone who knows, been there and done that, and who knows how it all sort of unravels. So I welcome people to visit my website, Reichian-therapy, Reichian-therapy.com. And there's lots more info there.
Okay. In our waning seconds, we, outside of radio, we've started discussing the possibility of taking this public.
Yes.
And you want to chat a little bit about that?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, yeah, Conversations with Lori and Dave. And we are going to come together for a public conversation. And, you know, I know you just read Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning,
right,
which is a beautiful springboard to talk about meaning and purpose. And this is also involves the inner life in a significant way. And so I think we're targeting March sometime, aren't we, Dave?
Yeah. So just put that seed out there for yes, anybody who's listening and who appreciates these conversations. There will be an opportunity to actually get together someplace.
Yeah.
And have a good, meaningful conversation.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Lori Sherbeck, thank you. We'll see you, I guess, otherwise in about a month.
Enjoy the lunar eclipse.
Right. Thanks. It's 8:59.